I want you to mentally imagine that you have a piece of paper. On the left-hand column, I want you to, in your mind's eye, write things I would like to see changed in my husband. On the right-hand column, write things I would like to see changed in my children. Now, if you're here today, and for one reason or another, you don't have a husband, then if you are, if you have children, you can put things I would like to see changed in my children. If you're single, then put things like things I would like to see changed in my best friend, or my brother, or my sister. Everybody will have something to write. All right, now, I want you to close your eyes, visualize this paper, and begin writing your list. Everybody close your eyes and write your list.
For some of you, you just got your list started. But I'd like you to keep your eyes closed again, please. Now I want you to mentally pick up the paper, set a match to it, and burn it up. And when the smoke and the ashes have all died away, you can open your eyes. Because you see, this weekend, we're not going to give ourselves the luxury of talking or thinking about the hundreds of ways that our husband and children need to change. We're not going to think about how much nicer and more spiritual I could be if only they would shape up. If only my husband was different. If only my children weren't so rebellious. If only my brother would do so and so. But we're not going to think about that. I want you to erase all that. We just burned that paper, didn't we? And today what we're going to think about is, Lord, change me. You know, I think we could paraphrase the old Negro spiritual something like this. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of change. Not my husband, not my children, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of change. Now, people naturally resist change, don't we? Mm-hmm. But you know, we might as well get used to it because God's Word tells us that the Christian life is one of continuing change. Right up until that final trumpet call when, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. Now that's the change we're all looking forward to. But until that time, God has a little work for us to do on our end of the change. I want to talk to you today about four basic things. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the fact that you can change. And secondly, that there are four sources of change. Third, how can I know what areas need to be changed? And then fourth, how can I accomplish this change? All right, the first thing I want to clarify is that change is possible. I'm sure that Satan badgers you the way he does me and says, you'll never change. You'll always be this way. You've always been this way. You never do anything consistently. Even if you change, you know it won't last. It never has. Does he ever ding-dong you with thoughts like that? He has a heyday with me sometimes on those thoughts. But let me tell you, to counterbalance that, what God says in His Word. Romans 5:2 in the Living Bible says, we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has had in mind for us to be. Romans 8:4 and 5. So now we can obey God's law if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old evil nature within us. Those who let themselves be controlled by their lower natures live only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing the things that please God. Or listen to this one. Philippians 3, 11 through 14. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet. But I keep working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brother, I am still not all I should be, but bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I want to recommend at least three very helpful books to you on this matter of change. One is a little booklet which we have with us called Godliness Through Discipline. Oh, you don't like that word, do you? I don't. The second one, or ones, would be any of the books by Tim and Beverly LeHay on the spirit-controlled temperament. Beverly LeHay has one now on the spirit-controlled woman, which she saw up there. The third one is The Saving Life of Christ by Major W. Ian Thomas, which is also on the book table. These books personally have been a tremendous help to me in grasping and understanding what it means to have the Lord change us. Now, I want you to realize that when you say, Lord, change me, you have to be aware of the fact that there are other sources of change. There are four I would like to talk about today, but only one of them is good. The three sources that influence change in our lives that are not good are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world with all its earthy wisdom, the flesh, or that sensual part of us, that old nature, and the devil, or the demon world. Let me talk just a minute about each of these. First of all, the world. Romans 12:2 says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Do not be conformed to the world. Now, if we look to the world and let it become our source of wisdom, then we're going to be changed into conformity to it. Now, when I say changed to the world, I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. Worldliness is not a list of do's and don'ts. Worldliness is an attitude of the heart. And I can tell you from my own experience that my list of do's and don'ts was longer than anybody else's, and that I measured everybody by my list of do's and don'ts. If you did what I did and didn't do what I didn't do, you were spiritual. But during that period in my life, which incidentally was all I knew to do, but during that period in my life, there was no one who had more spiritual pride, judgment, criticism, all those things that God does name specifically in His Word. So don't be misled. If you have a long list of do's and don'ts, and perhaps you're like me. When I was in high school, I can remember very clearly exactly where I was. I was standing in the hallway of our high school, and I thought to myself, now I have quit this, I have quit that, I certainly never did that, I didn't do this, and now I've given up this final one thing. Boy, I don't know of another thing I could give up. And I thought, the Lord must be very, very pleased to have me on His team. I am such a jewel. Kind of like the song that says, I've given up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee. Mm-hmm. But ladies, I'm sure the Lord's heart was very grieved because, you see, there was no content in my heart. There was only a list of do's and don'ts. So don't be misled. When we talk about the world, we're talking about your attitude of heart and the influence that the world has on you. All right, if you let the world be your source of wisdom, you're going to be changed into conformity to it, because the Scripture says we become like what we think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're bombarded on all sides, aren't we, by a relentless parade of ideas of change that come from the world. We hear it on TV, through our newspaper, through our advertising media. Everywhere around us, we're being asked to change. Let me just give you one illustration. Have you ever seen the sign or heard it? Like it? What? Try it. What's another one? Like it. Charge it. Now, this has become so common, even among Christians, that there are many who feel we just can't live life today without credit cards. It's impossible. Where did that idea come from? Not from God. Where are you getting your moral standards today? Are you unwittingly lowering your ideals because of this invasion by the world? It's so subtle. The first thing that happens is a very subtle change in our thinking, but then it's not long until that change is in our actions. The second source of change is our own flesh, that sensual old nature. I just want to read a couple of verses from the scripture, although there certainly are many that tell us what the works of the flesh are. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm reading this from the NASB. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that. Now, ladies, did you notice how he put all of my nice little sins right in the midst of those terrible bad ones? He put just innocent little things like jealousy and envy and outbursts of anger right there with drunkenness and immorality. And what does that tell you about your and my little sins? All right, how can I escape this fleshly, sensual part of me? One way is to pray, Lord, don't let me be changed by my selfish desires. And to pray verses like Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 gives us the assurance that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and do not lean unto our own understanding, then he has promised that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. To lean on our own understanding, you see, is to get input from the world and the flesh. We need to watch our motives, too, ladies, for change. Betty just gave you a wrong motive for change, and it's very subtle and very easy to want to change in some good way because it'll make it easier on you the way it affects others around you. It's easy to subtly change and feel so spiritual about it, but what you're really doing is manipulating someone else. So we need to be very careful about our motives. The third source of wrong influence for change comes from the devil and his demons. Matthew 4:10, where Satan went to tempt Jesus. He tried to change him, didn't he? And then Luke 22:3 tells us that Satan entered into Judas, and his course was set, wasn't it? Acts 5:3, Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, in each of these examples, Satan tried to influence them for evil. And in Ananias and Judas, he succeeded. Now, this is something that's all around us today, ladies, and in a very subtle way, it's even influencing our children at school or where they play, anywhere they are, and it influences us if we are not very, very careful. We need to be very aware of opening ourselves up to the wisdom that comes from the devil. The battlefield is the mind, and such things today as tarot cards, Ouija boards, horoscopes are so much around us that many people accept them as life, part of life. Many people find a little pleasure out of reading a horoscope and finding that it's pretty true. It's pretty true. I heard recently of a pastor's wife who wouldn't do anything without reading her horoscope. Now, the devil can make things turn out right part of the time to influence you. See? But God is the only source who can change us in the right way. If you open yourself up to Satan, once you've opened up your mind to him, then you have no control over what comes in. And he can come in with thoughts and plans and changes that sound good, They're exactly the opposite of what Christ has in mind for us. And when you open that door, you don't know what'll come in. So since the mind is the battlefield, the weapon you have to fight that battle is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's only as you keep His words flowing through your mind and walk in obedience to Him that you can escape being changed by the devil. It's interesting to note that one of Satan's names is the Father of Lies, John 8:32. We need to remember that. Now, it's obvious that the only good change is going to come from the Holy Spirit, the Lord Himself. All the changes from these first three will be for evil. What are some of the ways that God wants to change us? Well, in Ephesians 4:20-24, one of the things He says is, I want you to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living and with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade to put on the clean, fresh clothes of the new life which was made by God, by God's design for righteousness and the holiness which is no illusion. Galatians 5:22-23 give us that wonderful list of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how God wants to change your life and my life. How do you rate on that list? I find that I never get past the first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Hebrews 12:1. He tells us that we are to strip off everything that slows us down and holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up, and let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. When God changes us, it's always to fulfill us and mature us. Look at Romans 12:2 with me. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remake your mind. Remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. All right, I want you to think about three words for a minute. Transformed, conformed, and changed. This word transformed in Romans 12:1-2 tells us that we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's very interesting that this word transformed is the same word used in Matthew 17:8, speaking of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where He was transfigured before them. It's the identical word is used in Romans 12. God wants our lives absolutely transfigured. Isn't that exciting? Conform. Now, in Romans 8:29, we learn that we are to be conformed not to the world, but we are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. The definition of conformed means to become similar to bring into harmony or agreement with, and we are to become similar to the Son of God, in harmony and agreement with the Son of God, not in harmony or agreement with Satan or the world. And then the third word is changed. Colossians 1:6 says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world and changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard it and understood about God's great kindness to sinners. This same verse in the Phillips translation says, wherever the gospel goes, it produces Christian character and develops it. Wherever you see the gospel go, it's going to produce Christian character and develop it. My husband had the privilege of ministering in Guatemala as part of a layman's team, and they were supposed to go to their counterparts in business. And so we have a lumber yard, so one of the people he went to was the lumber yard owner. The lumber yard man wasn't the least bit interested, but the man who was with him, the translator, asked if he minded if they spoke to the men down on the yard, and he said no. And so there was one filthy, dirty little Mayan Indian down there, no shoes on, just really looked ratty. And as they, Gene shared with him through the interpreter the gospel of Jesus Christ, he accepted Christ. And two or three days later, Gene said, well, let's go back and see if we can find our little Mayan Indian friend and see how he's doing. So they went back to the lumber yard and looked around but couldn't find him. And then they spotted this one man that had on a clean shirt, clean pants, was all shaven, had on a sandal, and they walked over and they said, are you the fellow we talked to a couple days ago? And he said, oh, yeah. And Gene said, well, it's excuse me, who told you to clean up? He said, nobody. But when a man is clean on the inside, he wants to be clean on the outside. Wherever the gospel goes, it produces Christian character and develops it. God is in the business of change. He's in the business of developing your Christian character. Not always in the way we want him to. As Betty said, sometimes he uses that heavenly sandpaper in the way of person or trial to sand off our rough edges. All right, how can I know what areas need to be changed in my life? The first way is by praying, Lord, change me. Being open to change from him. And then, you know that list we just burned up? Go back and think what you wrote on it. And see if possibly the reason you could see those faults so clearly in your husband and children is because they were lying latent in your own life. You know, you've covered them over very piously, and of course they're very glaring in your husband and children's lives. And you've very piously covered yours over, but could it be that the reason you recognize it so readily in them is because you're quite familiar with it in your own life? Psychologists tell us that this is exactly what we do. That we can spot in another, and we're very, impatient with it in another, very critical of it. It's the very same thing that we have down in our own heart. Would you dare to pray over this list of what you wrote down about your husband or brother, sister, whoever, and say, Lord, is there any trace of this in me? Is there any changing you want to do in my life along this regard? All right, now, if nothing happened as you reviewed your list, let me ask the Holy Spirit to jog your memory, and I'll give you a few hints. Could it be that you need to be changed in the area of having a critical spirit? Or the area of self-centeredness? Being absorbed with yourself? Having an ungrateful spirit? Play-acting at being a good Christian? And what about the area of your fears, anger, lack of discipline, lack of self-control, pride, lack of love, worry, bitterness, resentment, being overly sensitive, easily hurt? Are you still all right? Toes still not stepped on? Okay, well, let me try again. One sure way to know what needs to be changed is simply to check your life by the Word of God. Let's just look at Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, and you kind of listen as I read it and see if maybe it'll get you here. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And if you still don't know any areas for change, you might just jot down these scriptures and go and get along with the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to see changed in me? Try Ephesians 5, or 1 Peter 3, or Galatians 5, or 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8. And with each of these, pray, Lord, change me. And ladies, do you realize that the basis of all the need for change in our life comes from self? That self is at the basis of it. All right, I want to be changed, maybe you're saying, but how can I accomplish this? How can I be changed? Well, number one, we're changed by the Spirit of God, but he must have our permission and cooperation. Romans 8:13 in the Phillips translation says, but if on the other hand you cut the nerve of your instinctive action by obeying the Spirit, you are on the way to real living. The second way we're changed is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. Titus 1:1-2, Paul says, I have been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know God's truth, the kind of truth that changes lives. The Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God and uses it as we obey it. This is our cooperation, you see, with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm sure, James 1:22-25, where we're admonished not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. Ladies, don't come today and listen to the word of God and be like the man who looks in the mirror, sees himself, goes away and forgets what he looked like. Don't go away from this meeting today or these meetings this weekend with no intention to change. You are responsible for the word you have heard from God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 tells us how the word of God will change us. It says it is profitable for teaching, that is, for doctrine, truth, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Now, do you notice that all four of those have to do with change, changing us? Sometimes God needs to change our doctrine, but most often he needs to change our action. And change comes not when God speaks, ladies, but when you obey what God says. And usually the change is gradual. Isaiah 28:10 says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, I would like cataclysmic change myself, but I never have really seen it much in my life. And sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? Because we are so close to the forest that we can't see the trees. But change usually comes in our lives a little, a little, a little at a time. The third way that we are changed is we are changed by beholding him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, that is, changed, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us of this same truth when it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. All right, a fourth way we're changed is by taking positive action. And let me give you two suggestions under this. Number one is deal with sin as God reveals it. Keep short account. Do you know how to deal with sin? Let me tell you. You recognize it as sin. You confess it as sin. And to confess it as sin means you call it what God calls it. It's not, Lord, you know, forgive me for losing my temper, but you know it's because I have a headache today, Lord. No, it's, Lord, I lost my temper and that's sin. See, God does not forgive excuses. He forgives sin. Confess it as sin. Ask his forgiveness. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then thank him for filling you. When sin comes in, repeat those same steps again. In order that you might keep short accounts with him. Don't let sin get a hold in your life. All right? The second thing is discipline yourself. Now, we sure don't like that word, do we? I would so love to be spiritual and so spiritual that it just all came just because I just loved God so much and I never had to ever exercise any discipline. But I don't know about you, but I'm not that way. And I've known the Lord now for a good many years. I accepted the Lord as a child, and I have known the Lord for many years. I have had a daily quiet time for many, many years. But do you know what? I still have to discipline myself to have it. I've memorized scripture off and on for many years, but it is the hardest discipline of my Christian life to be consistent in memorizing scripture. Because you see, that old evil nature in us never did obey God's laws, and it never will, the scripture says. It never is going to change its mind. All right, but as we discipline ourselves, the new nature takes over more and more. Discipline yourself, 1 Timothy 4:7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That is in the NASB, the New American Standard. In order to change, we have to discipline ourselves daily. It takes daily effort, daily practice, daily denying the old self. And remember, when you discipline yourself to change for God's glory, you don't have to do it alone. In fact, you can't. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I think in the Philip it says, giving us the desire and giving us the power to do it. Now, the most important word you can remember in this is endurance. Most of the reason for our failure in this line is just that we give up too soon. I'm a great starter. Boy, I do good at the starting line. I really look like I'm going to win this race. I start off with great speed, organized. But then I'm like a rocket after, you know, 2-3 weeks, 2-4 months. And then I have to get up out of the ditch and say, well, Lord, let's get this discipline on again and start over. But you know, the Lord wants us to be good finishers, not just good starters. I'd like to suggest to you, well, let me give you a verse before I do that. 1 Peter 4:1 says, remember that when your body suffers, sin loses its power. It's good, huh? All right. I want to suggest to you the book, The Renewed Mind, by Larry Christensen. Unfortunately, I do not have it here on the book table. I got mine in a TGNY. But if you buy the book and read and understand the first chapter of the book, you don't even have to read the rest of the book if you're not interested. But the first chapter is worth its weight in gold in understanding how to apply these principles of change. All right, another way we're changed is by waiting on God. Some things God gives only as we wait. Have you ever thought in your mind something like this? God, give me patience and give it to me right now. Psalm 37:24 says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season, he will honor you with every blessing. Isaiah 40:29-31 is one of my favorite parts of the Old Testament. This is the one that says he gives strength to the weary. Every mother knows that scripture. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth may grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The matter of waiting on God is especially important if we're just getting used to allowing Christ to live his life through us. For instance, maybe you've prayed, Lord, change me from being anxious and worried. And you feel like you're making good progress in allowing God to do his work in you. But suddenly an unexpected thing comes up and you find yourself retreating to this old pattern of worry and anxiety. Then what do you do? Well, a very practical thing to do is stop and ask God and wait. Stop. Say, Lord, please exchange my anxiety and worry for your peace. And then wait until he floods your soul with that peace. All right, what happens when I allow God to change me? Well, some very exciting things begin to happen in our life, because not only are we changed, but we experience the exchanged life. We just read Isaiah 40:31 that talked about renewed. It's interesting that this word renew means the process by which the molting eagle exchanges its old feathers for new ones. See, not just a little of God giving me a little extra strength to add to my flagging energy, but it's God exchanging my weakness for his strength. Can you imagine what this means, ladies? Think about this. Think about exchanging your attitude for his attitude. Think about exchanging your guilt for his forgiveness. Or how about exchanging your loneliness for his presence? Your illness for his healing? Exchanging your despair for his hope? Exchanging your anxiety for his peace? Your resentment for his love. Your suffering for his grace. Think about exchanging your sorrow for his comfort. Think about having his victory in exchange for all your defeats. And exchanging the bankruptcy of this whole old nature for all the fullness of Christ dwelling within. These are just a few of the benefits that will begin to come to our life when we pray, Lord, change me. And I trust that last night and today, the most prevalent thought in your mind has been, Lord, change me. And that you will give the Spirit of God permission to change us in every area that he desires. And as you go through what's left of today's sessions, and as you drive home, and as you meditate on it, that you'll be praying, Lord, change me. And then you'll be available for the Holy Spirit to do his work. Lord, we all need changing so much. But I thank you that that's part of the process of our growth. That you didn't tell us that when we became Christians, we would have arrived at perfection. That every step along the way is very, very important. Because it's part of your overall perfect plan for us. I thank you that you are the blessed controller of all things. And Lord, I just want to make myself available to you to do the changes you want in my life. And I pray that I speak for each of the ladies, that this will not be just another high point in our lives, that we would not leave here and a week from now be no different. Oh God, we just ask you to change us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.